Brother, let me tell you, it is no fun. This is the LifeSpring 1 Year Bible Rewind, and coming to you from Riverside, California, podcasting since 2004, I'm Steve Webb, your OG Godcaster. This is the podcast that comes to you every day, and we're reading the entire Bible together in a year. Good on you for joining us. I'm so glad you're here. Welcome. The website is lifespringmedia.com. And proving that there's a day for just about anything you can think of, and some you'd never think of, it's National Noodle Ring Day. The holiday nobody asked for, yet here we are. This is Poetry Thursday. We'll read Job 15 and 16, after which I'll have some commentary for you, then on this date in church history. Let's begin. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for another day to serve you and to read your word. And as we do, we ask that you give us clarity of mind and that you will teach us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Job chapter 15. Then Eliphaz the Temanite replied, "Does a wise man answer with empty counsel or fill himself with a hot east wind? Should he argue with useless talk or with words that serve no good purpose? But you even undermine the fear of God and hinder meditation before him. Your iniquity teaches you what to say, and you choose the language of the crafty. Your own mouth condemns you, not I. Your own lips testify against you. Were you the first person ever born, or were you brought forth before the hills? Do you listen in on the counsel of God, or have a monopoly on wisdom? What do you know that we don't? What do you understand that is not clear to us? Both the gray-haired and the elderly are with us, men older than your father. Are God's consolations not enough for you, even the words that deal gently with you? Why has your heart misled you? And why do your eyes flash as you turn your anger against God and allow such words to leave your mouth? What is man that he should be pure, or one born of woman that he should be righteous? If God puts no trust in his holy ones, and the heavens are not pure in his sight, how much less one who is revolting and corrupt, who drinks injustice like water? Listen to me, and I will inform you. I will describe what I have seen, what was declared by wise men, and not suppressed by their ancestors. The land was given to them alone when no foreigner passed among them. A wicked man writhes in pain all his days. Only a few years are reserved for the ruthless. Dreadful sounds fill his ears. When he is at peace, a robber attacks him. He doesn't believe he will return from darkness. He is destined for the sword. He wanders about for food, saying, "Where is it?" He knows the days of darkness is at hand. Trouble and distress terrify him, overwhelming him like a king prepared for battle. For he has stretched out his hand against God and has arrogantly opposed the Almighty. He rushes headlong at him with his thick, studded shields. Though his face is covered with fat and his waistline bulges with it, he will dwell in ruined cities, in abandoned houses destined to become piles of rubble. He will no longer be rich. His wealth will not endure. His possessions will not increase in the land. He will not escape from the darkness. Flames will wither his shoots. And by the breath of God's mouth, he will depart. Let him not put trust in worthless things, being led astray, for what he gets in exchange will prove worthless. It will be accomplished before his time, and his branch will not flourish. He will be like a vine that drops its unripe grapes and like an olive tree that sheds its blossoms. For the company of the godless will have no children, and fire will consume the tents of those who offer bribes. They conceive trouble and give birth to evil. Their womb prepares deception. Job chapter 16. Then Job answered, "I have heard many things like these. You are all miserable comforters. Is there no end to your empty words? What provokes you that you continue testifying? If you were in my place, I could also talk like you. I could string words together against you and shake my head at you. Instead, I would encourage you with my mouth, and my consolation from my lips would bring relief. Even if I speak, my suffering is not relieved, and if I hold back, what have I lost? Surely he has now exhausted me. You have devastated my entire family. You have shriveled me up. It has become a witness. my frailty rises up against me and testifies to my face. His anger tears at me, and he harasses me. He gnashes his teeth at me. My enemy pierces me with his eyes. They open their mouths against me and strike my cheeks with contempt. They join themselves together against me. God hands me over to unjust men. He throws me into the hands of the wicked. I was at ease, but he shattered me. He seized me by the scruff of the neck and smashed me to pieces. He set me up as his target. His archers surround me. He pierces my kidneys without mercy and pours my bile on the ground. He breaks through my defenses again and again. He charges at me like a warrior. I have sewn sackcloth over my skin. I have buried my strength in the dust. My face is grown red with weeping, and darkness covers my eyes, although my hands are free from violence and my prayer is pure. Earth, do not cover my blood. May my cry for help find no resting place. Even now my witness is in heaven, and my advocate is in the heights. My friends scoff at me as I weep before God. I wish that someone might arbitrate between a man and God, just as a man pleads for his friend. For only a few years will pass before I go the way of no return. Well, I suppose that Eliphaz's motivation for this attack is to cause Job to turn away from his errant ways. But since Job is not the person that he's accused of being, Eliphaz's words are nothing more than hurtful and foolish. We should pray that we are never in Eliphaz's shoes when our friends need us. Let us prayerfully consider our words and ask God to help us see them as he sees them, and then hopefully we'll speak words of love and salvation. In chapter 16, Job finally tells his friends how he would be speaking to one of them if the tables were switched. He tells them that he would speak encouraging and consoling words instead of the hurtful, accusatory things they've been saying to him. He tells them that they've actually put him in a no-win position. If he speaks to them, it doesn't help because they twist his words and use them against him, and he feels worse. If he keeps quiet, they accuse him of being sullen. If he says he's done nothing wrong, he's charged with pride or lying. And if he doesn't answer their charges, his silence is taken as confession. Have you ever been in a similar situation as Job here? No matter what you say, your words are used against you. If you don't defend yourself, you're assumed to be guilty. I've been in that situation, and brother, let me tell you, it is no fun. I've lost many nights of sleep because of these kinds of accusations. It's good to remember that Jesus was wrongfully charged when he stood before the Sanhedrin and Pontius Pilate. On one occasion, he maintained a silence. On the other, he spoke without addressing the charges directly. In any case, he understands the heartbreak of the situation. At times like this, it's good to know that we have a Savior who understands. What do you think? I'd love to hear from you. Write to me at steve@lifespringmedia.com, leave a comment on the show notes page, or go to comment.lifespringmedia.com and comment there. Tomorrow we're going to read Isaiah 40 through 44.
LifeSpring Family Hotline, 951-732-8511.
That's the number to text or call to leave a comment, a question, an idea, or a praise report or prayer request. You can also go to comment.lifespringmedia.com or prayer.lifespringmedia.com, or you can send an email to me at steve@lifespringmedia.com, like Joy Kurtz did. She wrote, "Let's celebrate the birth of our Savior that was brought down from heaven to this lonely earth through the Virgin Mary. When the kings saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy." And she ends with, "Thank you for reading the Bible to Joy Kurtz, who lives in Dunkirk, New York, USA." Well, Joy, you are welcome, and thank you for your email. Yes, this truly is a time for celebration. And speaking of Christmas, today's LifeSpring Why Christmas, which is day 11, answers the question, why do we have holly, ivy, and other greenery like mistletoe at Christmas? Well, tune in and find out. And episode 9 of the newest LifeSpring Media show, Verses We Missed, is out now. Came out yesterday. Long before Jesus ever cried as an infant, Isaiah told us he would cry as a man. This episode takes a closer look at Isaiah 53:3. You can find both episodes, LifeSpring Why Christmas and Verses We Missed, at LifeSpringMedia.com. On this date in church history, December 11th, we start in 1520 when my buddy Martin Luther finished his three major Reformation treatises. They were, number one, to the Christian nobility of the German nation, number two, the Babylonian captivity of the church, and number three, the freedom of a Christian. Each book took aim at a different part of the medieval church system. Luther argued that every believer has direct access to God, that salvation rests in Christ alone, and that the church must stand under the authority of Scripture, not the other way around. That's three reasons I call him my buddy. If you missed yesterday's show, go back and listen to my other reasons. These writings spread quickly, fanning the flames of the Reformation and calling people back to the joy and freedom of the gospel. What's striking is how pastoral Luther was. He wasn't trying to create a movement. He was trying to help ordinary Christians rediscover grace. And that's yet one more point for Martin Luther. And now we go to 1816, when the American Bible Society received its official charter in New York. The United States was still a young nation, and Bibles were expensive and hard to find, especially on the frontier. And a group of pastors, civic leaders, and missionaries believed every household should have access to Scripture. So they created an organization dedicated to distributing affordable Bibles in every corner of the country. Within a few decades, the American Bible Society was printing millions of copies, funding translations, and partnering with churches around the world. The ripple effects are still being felt today. Many people first encountered the gospel through a Bible the Society placed in their hands.
If you enjoy the show, tell someone.
Comment on the show at comment.lifespringmedia.com or email me at steve@lifespringmedia.com. I'll read some of your comments on the show. And until tomorrow, may God bless you richly. Thank you so much for being here, spending part of your day with me. I'm Steve Webb. Bye.
LifeSpring Media, bringing the message of hope, love, and good news since 2004.
The LifeSpring 1 Year Bible Rewind is a LifeSpring Media production hosted by Steve Webb, the OG Godcaster since 2004.